Ace is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
It's Ace's biggest LED light bulb sale of the year. Right now, buy one, get one free on our best-selling LED light bulbs. Our 4-pack of LED bulbs is $9.99, and our 2-pack of LED floodlights is only $12.99. Buy one, get one free. There's no limit on how much you can save, so stock up now. Hurry in. Buy one, get one free on long-lasting 10-year LED bulbs, now through Monday, only at your neighborhood Ace. See participating stores for details.
Hey everyone, this is Chris Manning from Locked On Cavaliers, just letting you know that today's show is one of the best we've done yet. It's a crossover show with Eric Gunderson from Locked On Blazers. We previewed the game, we previewed the Eastern Conference in a way, we talk about Joel Embiid, we covered everything NBA in the show, and I think it's a lot of fun. Also, tomorrow we'll be back with Brian Toporek from sites like Hoop76 and Bleacher Report. Thursday, we'll have a Cleveland-specific sports show with Daniel Ralph from Fear the Sword and from The Step Back, and a great illustrator, a great friend of mine as well, so I hope you'll enjoy that. I think it's a really, really good week of shows we have here, and I think you really enjoyed today's show. And if you haven't already, drop me mailbag questions for next week's show at LockedOnCavs or to LockedOnCavs on Twitter. We still got a bunch yesterday. Go listen to that show as well. And without further ado, here's today's show.
You are Locked On Cavaliers, your daily podcast on the Cleveland Cavaliers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello and welcome to a crossover edition of Locked On Blazers and Locked On Cavs. I'm your host of Locked On Blazers, Eric Garcia Gunderson, a writer for BlazersEdge.com and former Blazers beat writer for the Vancouver Columbian. And I am joined today by
Chris. I'm Chris Manning. I'm the host of Locked On Cavaliers. I'm an editor at Fear the Sword, another SB Nation blog. So we're SB Nation bros.
That's right. We are SB Nation bros here, and we're Locked On bros. So, and if you would like to subscribe to our podcasts, Locked On Cavs or Locked On Blazers, we're on iTunes, Stitcher, Audio Boom, all the places where you can get podcasts. Leave us a 5-star review. And if you'd like to advertise with Locked On Blazers, send us an email at lockedonblazers@gmail.com.
And if you want to do that for Locked On Cavs, lockedoncavs@gmail.com, because we have super original emails in the Locked On Podcast Network.
Very, very, at least we have synergy.
Yeah.
You know, the brand is strong.
Yeah, we're on super on brand. There's a unison in what we're doing.
That's right. And, well, I think there's unison going on with one of our teams. we can say for sure. Blazers not in unison too much. They play against the Knicks on Tuesday. But the Blazers and Cavs play on Wednesday. Chris, how obviously the Cavs won the championship, defending champions, but they still seem like they were a little not, I don't think most people thought they were the favorites because of what happened with Golden State. How have you seen them play? Have they improved? Are they, even a more threatening team now than they were last year?
I think they're better. But I also think there is a room to improve. I think you're seeing a certain change. I mean, you're seeing with Kevin Love, this is the Kevin Love that when he was acquired that I think most of us, including myself, thought we would see with LeBron and Kyrie. Kyrie Irving is clearly healthy, and he's playing like Kyrie Irving. He's playing like a guy who's an all-star, who is one of the best point guards in the league, and he's shooting more threes, and he's taking on a bigger scoring role, as is Kevin Love. And I think the supporting cast, too, is better, but I think the big thing is you can just tell being around this team that the mood is better. Everyone is just a little bit happier. Everyone feels a little bit unburdened by the title, and plus because all that attention is on the Warriors. This is a team that knows they're the best in the East. I mean, they played the Hawks and lost, and I think a year ago that it might have been frustrating for them, but they know that this doesn't matter that much. Like, they know if they're playing the Hawks in a 7-game series or they're playing the Raptors in a 7-game series, like, they feel pretty good about that. And I don't think there's any worry with them. That makes them very weird to cover because it's really hard to, like, oversell something or write about something in detail because it's like, is this going to matter in June? Like, is this going to matter in May? Like, I look at Amon Shumpert, and it's like he's shooting 50% from three. That's not going to sustain. And I'm like, is this going to matter in June if he gets hurt in between now and then? It's like a very weird thing. But it's just a very weird, different mood with this. And weird's a bad word, but, like, they're actually, like, a positive, cohesive bunch. And it's so different.
It's very odd of a LeBron team to have, like, no drama, no big obstacles that they have to overcome. I feel like everything with LeBron, like, especially the bad things are just, like, super – they're always bad. It's like whenever there's something or he's tweeting or like when they played Portland a couple of years ago and he froze out Waiters and Kyrie and there was just so much – of this stuff, and then they basically, you know, they have reportedly allegedly threw the game in protest of David Blatt when they were here, and it just feels like this year's Portland-Cleveland matchups I don't think are going to be that dramatic. It's at least on their side.
Yeah, it's when you see them play, you're just gonna, and I don't know how many times you've like watched them play, but it's just a very different thing. You feel like they're in control of what's going on. Like the most dramatic thing that has happened this year is Phil Jackson saying those posse comments about LeBron, and that's like, it's the first time that there hasn't been this internal drama with this team. It's just a very, it's a very different thing that has happened with this team, and it's, it kind of makes for like, you wonder if this is better, like, because they thrived on it last year. Like, how do they, do they have, does it change their dynamic at all? I guess I wonder, and I don't think it does. I feel like it helps, like I know, like, as someone who just goes to a job that isn't playing in front of 20,000 people every day, when I feel good about who I'm working with and I feel good about like my environment, I tend to feel like I'm happier at my job. And yet for this Cavs team, it's like they admitted, like, yeah, we're a super dramatic group of people, and that's like part of the reason why we worked. And that's such a weird thing. Like, I can't imagine, like, from covering them all the time and watching them all the time and knowing how weird it is, I can't imagine from, like, someone like you who's, like, maybe not watching them every day. Like, that must have been weird, right?
Yeah, that is a weird sentiment to hear. I do feel, though, as – I don't necessarily think that it's that's the team that thrives off that as much as I think that LeBron himself thrives off of that back-against-the-wall type of feeling. I felt like when he was in Miami – his teams would always get in situations that they're, you know, they would always be down in a series and have to come back, or they like would lose. I feel like I feel like LeBron thrives off of that, but I just really think it's interesting that they're clicking, they're getting better. The Kevin Love stuff I think is really going to be interesting for the Blazers to see how they try and combat him with how good he's played. I think between Kyrie and Damian Lillard, I think that matchup is kind of a wash. You know, overall, I think both those guys are pretty much cancel each other out. And I think Portland's going to have a really tough time, obviously, with Cleveland. Even if they were healthy, even if they had Al-Farouq Aminu, obviously it would be – I can't remember the last time they beat Cleveland since LeBron got there.
I think
at least in Cleveland.
Yeah, I think – because I think Portland spanked the Cavs last year right after Christmas, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, that was the game that LeBron was teaching another lesson.
Yeah, and they showed that up. Yeah, that's putting it gently. I actually also hope that Kyrie and Dame both try to drop 50 in this game. Like, that's like the most enjoyable outcome possible, because they both could do it, because neither of them particularly play good defense, and they're going to guard each other.
Yeah, and CJ, hey, also watch out for CJ. It's kind of a homecoming for him. So he's a Canton guy.
Does he consider himself like a Cleveland guy? Because Canton's like an hour away.
But in terms of pro teams, I don't think he has any more like closer home games.
Unless he became like a really big Chargers
fan. I think he only played I think he played like two D League games in his career, and they were not against the Charge.
Yeah. I mean, it would make sense. I always like wondered if like you're an hour away and like you don't have that connection. But like the Blazers to me are such like an interesting team, because I love a lot of the guys they have. And I don't know how you feel about the Evan Turner thing, but, like, the Evan Turner thing is, like, it throws a lot of hijinks. And every day I feel like I go on Twitter and someone's like, yeah, his net rating is just astronomically awful. Like, what is up with the Blazers now? Like, how are they doing? Like, are they trending in the right direction? After last year, they were so surprisingly pretty good.
I don't know what's happened with their rebounding. That's the Turner thing aside, guys are going to miss shots. and Turner's shot 38% so far this year. But the rebounding for the Blazers, to me, is the biggest concern. And they were playing Ed Davis a little bit less than they were last year early on, and they've been forced to play him more now that Aminu's been out. But they were a top 10 rebounding team last year. They were, I think, a top 3 offensive rebounding team, and I think they were 13th in defensive rebounding, and they're last place in total defensive – in total rebounding right now, in total rebound rate. And so to me, that is to me, the biggest concern is by far on the glass, because defensively they've struggled, and their net rate – their defensive rating probably suffers a lot because their defensive rebounding has been so bad. But they were at least a decent defensive rebounding team, and they may not have the defensive personnel to be a great defensive team, but at least they can rebound. And I think they need to figure that out. Davis has helped a little bit, but all the guys like Myers Leonard has been like the rebounding when he's been in the game most of the season has been bad. They just haven't really done a good job. And the Turner thing, as you mentioned, is a problem, but I do think a large part of it is math. Because he was shooting 35% going into Sunday's game against the Nets, and he went 8 for 12, and he's still shooting 38%, and his career numbers are a 43% shooter. So I have been jumping on, you know, I've been ragging on Turner. I've been like, maybe they should cut his minutes back, maybe they should dial back his role. But then, like, right before that game, I was thinking, they kind of have to just let him shoot his way out of it, because it's like he can't be that bad for that long. And I think he's got a couple more games now where he's going to get back to his numbers, because, I mean, he's 27. He's not dealing with a major injury. He's not a different player than who he's always been. So I think that the Turner thing has been bad. It's been awful. The net rating is terrible. But I do think it'll balance out once he starts just shooting like his career numbers have been his whole season, his whole career.
Yeah, and he was really good last year. Like, I can't really say, like, how bizarre it was that Evan Turner was, like, super useful for Boston last year. And I sort of get the idea of trying to take him for what he was in Boston and then making him that auxiliary piece to Dame and CJ. Like, I get that. Like, I get the logic, and, you know, maybe if it goes really, really bad, you can just dump him for something. But maybe you're right there. I mean, maybe if he gets his shooting up just to where it is as a career average, like, he can be fine and get back up to like 30% from three. That would be like a positive step.
That would be amazing if he could do that. But I think they need him. You know, Danny Chow for the Ringer wrote a thing about him and brought up the Livingston comparison as a guy. I think he's kind of like a mix between like a Livingston and a poor man's Iguodala. But like if he could shoot threes, he would be a poor man's Iguodala. But even Iguodala can't shoot threes, so who am I kidding? But like, what I'm saying is that he can get that mid-range game going and just give them something off the bench, because CJ was great and Gerald Henderson was really solid for them down the stretch in that role as like a guy that can just come in and get buckets. But I think if Turner can make that mid-range shot, then that opens up all the other stuff that he can do that he's better than Gerald Henderson at doing, like passing and creating. But if he doesn't make those shots, it's all terrible. And so like that's the thing with him, is like, it's, if he doesn't make those mid-range shots, it's awful.
Yeah, I mean, is he frustrating to watch? Like, there are guys that are frustrating to watch, and like last year he wasn't. And on the Cavs, like, Amon Shumpert is the guy where, like, when he's playing badly, he's very frustrating to watch. Is Evan Turner that guy on the Blazers?
He has been for stretches. He, you know, and I think a lot of that wasn't just, you know, I don't think he had full confidence in all the things that he was doing early on. He's talked about anxiety, and he talked about that after having a good game against Brooklyn. And I do think that he was thinking a little bit too much, and it was really not fun to watch him when he was thinking too much and hesitating and dribbling the ball way too many times and doing that little shimmy and not really getting anywhere. And it's been frustrating to see him not really get to the cup and like get fouled or anything. Like, I mean, he really just hasn't done, he's not fun to watch, but I think he can be fun. Like, that's the thing. It's like, when he gets going, he can be fun to watch because he's a good passer. He reads the game very well. But, like, we haven't seen the good Evan Turner except for Sunday.
Yeah, that's That I feel like that's like every team has a guy like that. Like, we just don't see that guy can normally all the time. Within the context of the West, I just kind of wonder, like, if they're eight and seven right now, I assume you probably had them as a playoff team coming into the year. Like, I would guess you probably had them as a playoff team.
Yeah, I thought they had a chance to be fourth. You know, I even thought that I was wrong. I thought that San Antonio may slip a little bit without Duncan, but that hasn't proven to be the case. And at least I thought as like a cultural presence, and that's been wrong. But I do think Portland, I thought that they could have home court in the first round, and they, you know, have definitely struggled. But I do think they have a lot of room for error in that.
Yeah, I mean, I'm looking at the standings. Like, you look at, of course, I think the top three of that West with the Clippers, the Warriors, Spurs feels very solid in some way, you know, shape or form. Like, even if the Warriors pass the Clippers and they're tied right now.
Yeah, like, that's like a capsule, basically. Yeah.
But, like, the Grizzlies could implode at any time. Like, they're Marcus Gasol getting hurt, and Chandler Parsons has, like, a bruised knee now, so, like, that's a huge blow for them. The Rockets.
Yeah, two weeks, I think, on Parsons, yeah,
which,
too.
Like, yeah. With his history, like, that's not great. I'm not really sure the Thunder are actually, like, that good. Like, I know
they lost to Indy last night.
Yeah,
that's awful.
It's gross. Like, Russell Westbrook does these absurd things, and then it's like you look at the rest of the roster, and you're just kind of like, okay, like, that's fine. The Rockets are kind of, you know, I guess maybe where they thought they could be, but there's clearly room to grow, and it's like, are the Lakers going to be a 500 team all year? Like, I kind of doubt it. Like, are the Jazz going to stand 500? Probably not. Like, are the Wolves going to be what they are? Like, maybe they get better too. Like, it's interesting. And, like, you have the Nuggets, and the Kings are, like, 5-9. Like, it's a very, like, weird spot they're in, but it's, like, you feel like at least with the Thunder and the Grizzlies and the Rockets, like, there definitely is room to hop up to where kind of where you were saying.
Yeah. Oh, note on the T-Wolves. God, they were winning that game tonight, and they scored 12 points in the fourth quarter against the Celtics and lost.
Yeah, Wiggins and LaVine, 0 of 12 from 3. Like, like, scale of, like, smiling Tibbs from that picture that we've seen of him on ESPN to, like, him screaming.
Oh, the one that Hyken always,
yeah.
The one that has the big grin,
yeah.
of Tibbs. Yeah.
Yeah, of that to him, like, screaming ice in his sleep. Like, how angry do you think he is right now?
Oh, God. I mean, 4-9 now. Like, I don't think Tibbs has ever been built. I don't think Tibbs is built for a 4-9, you know? I don't know how long he's going to be able to take it.
I need Luol Deng for 40 minutes.
Yeah, God. And Luol is going to be – Luol's chilling in L.A. Yeah, yeah. Like Luol's living the life.
Yeah. Like, he's not playing that well. And he's just like, I'm in L.A. Like, it's cool.
Yeah, he's just chilling. Got 4 years, $70 million, basically to be a babysitter for this team. Like, I mean, come on. So shout out to Luol Deng, keep getting him checks. But yeah, but to the point about the Blazers though, and the Western Conference, I think there's a lot of room to grow for them. Their offense too, like, they against Brooklyn exploded for 129, but they have been they've been mediocre on the whole. Especially up to, you know, relative to their standards, they were a sixth offensive team last year in offensive rating. So I think that that's going to balance out. And I think the defense, you know, there's a weird correlation. I think when you talk to people that work in, you know, that coach teams and are around teams a lot between making shots and playing better defense. And I do think that that might apply to the Blazers because there are a lot of guys that love their shot, you know, even guys like Allen Crabbe and Myers Leonard, guys that are definitely offense first guys and they hadn't really gotten going and they need to get going too. But I think, you know, Turner getting going, I think will have kind of a chain reaction. So if they can get that, I think the bench will be better. And then I think they can really be in the mix for that fourth seed with Houston, Memphis, Oklahoma City, maybe. I think Utah could eventually get up there if they're ever healthy. But it seems like they never are. And by they, I mean Derek Favors. But and the Lakers. I mean, the Lakers are – I think the Lakers are going to hang around for a minute. D'Angelo, their bench is good. Randall's good. They're good.
Yeah, out of the teams that I'm looking forward to seeing in person this year, they're actually sneakily high on my list because I like D'Angelo. Like, I like Luke Walton as a – I really, really like Luke Walton as a coach. And, like, it's certainly, like, very telling that the roster basically loses Kobe and loses Byron Scott, and they look just like a lot, you know, like happier and more functional. Like I'm just saying, man. Like addition by subtraction, like D'Angelo gets to cook, like they get to do stuff. Like it's cool.
Oh, well, and the whole thing with them, Hyken and I have a bit about them being the real Lakers of Los Angeles, and that's what they were in like the last couple of years of Kobe. They were a reality show and not a basketball team. And like, it's even extended to like Swaggy. Like Swaggy, like Nick Young's life is significantly less reality TV than it was last year, now that he's no longer involved with Iggy Azalea. And I think that like just the whole aura around them just seems much more professional and about basketball and not about their celebrity and nursing their fame, which
Nick Young does have like a girlfriend though, who was, I believe her name's like Pamela Ford, who like was on a song with Amika Mill. And like, he's literally always like Instagramming pictures of her and like putting it like Nick Young just gets to do Nick Young, and it's kind of great.
Right. But it seems like he's in a better place. Like he's balling. I mean, he's clearly playing well. He's in the rotation for them. And I think it was like a legitimate conversation at points last year where like, are they going to cut him? Are they going to waive him? Like, cause he was so bad for them when Byron was there. And yeah. So I think the Lakers are actually a fun team to watch. I'm excited to watch them. I would love to see them. I'd definitely love to see them in person. I've always loved D'Angelo. I always thought his game is great. They've been solid. I mean, the Cavs, I mean, I guess the question is not, are they going to have number one seed in the East? Are they going to have the best record in the league? Right now, Golden State and the Clippers are kind of charging. I do feel like, though, the West will eventually kind of drag those teams down just a couple of notches. What do you think about, you know, the Cavs' prospects of getting to the end of the season with the best record and having home court for game seven, potentially?
That's interesting because I certainly could see the top of the West cannibalizing itself, but I also wonder how much the Cavs will pursue that top seed, like how much effort they put into it, right? Like they rested LeBron against the Pacers last week, and I think that's the way you're going to rest LeBron, is just by giving him random nights off. You don't worry about the record that much, and you just let him get rest and while him playing 36 minutes. So like, do they put their foot down and really go for it? Do they decide that they don't care that much? I kind of think they're going to finish with the best record in the East. I don't think they finish with the best record in the NBA because I don't know how much they really care. But at the same time, like, let's say it's, you know, they're right now they've played two less games than both the Clippers and the Warriors. Let's say it's March and April and they're like about the same, and they know that like if they could have that best record, like in like the Clippers and the Warriors just happen to cannibalize each other and pick each other apart and take away wins, like let's say the Cavs finish the season on a hot note, like there's probably some value to them having home court in the finals. Like there's certainly some value to it. And that's like where I wonder, and that's so far away, but I wonder if like that's what would prompt them to really push it at the end, because I don't really get the feeling that they're inclined to do so, and I get why they wouldn't be.
Ace is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
It's Ace's biggest LED light bulb sale of the year. Right now, buy one, get one free on our best-selling LED light bulbs. Our 4-pack of LED bulbs is $9.99, and our 2-pack of LED floodlights is only $12.99. Buy one, get one free. There's no limit on how much you can save, so stock up now. Hurry in. Buy one, get one free on long-lasting 10-year LED bulbs now through Monday, only at your neighborhood Ace. See participating stores for details.
You know, this conversation is where love becoming more a focal point of the offense comes into play, because maybe you can rest LeBron more if you have Kevin Love, you know, feeling confident in his game and being the guy that can get you 30 and 15 on a night when LeBron sits out.
Yeah, I think that makes sense. I think Love, in the just not getting more of a role, but like looking as much of like Minnesota Love as we could see him being Cleveland, is telling. Mm-hmm. And he's doing with bench units. Like he's playing not with LeBron when he's doing it. Like he does it at times a little bit more than we've seen, and it feels more organic. But we're seeing him do it with Amon Shumpert. We're seeing him do it with guys that are. He's they're getting benefits from him, and he's not benefiting from them. Like, he's the one creating opportunities for Iman Shumpert. Mm-hmm. He's the one creating opportunities for Richard Jefferson. Like, it is not LeBron and him not giving LeBron more room. Like, he's the benefit. He is the center, and it's weird because we haven't seen that. And, like, when they've done it, it's like, oh, here's a post touch for you, Kevin. Like, have fun. You're going to get one again in 20 minutes. Like, he gets these all the time now, and it's really fun to watch.
Right. No, that's really cool. I think it's a really interesting development, especially for them as they, you know, try and maybe chase that best record in the league. So that's I feel like in that sense, I feel like every game for them matters a lot more than I think maybe we realize, because I think it's this consensus that the regular season doesn't matter, although the Clippers are, you know, putting up a pretty good case for themselves as a team that maybe may make it to the finals. But I think a lot of people were like, okay, it's going to be round three of Warriors Cavs, which has never happened. We've never had 3 years in a row of the same two teams in the finals, but I think that adds a little bit more intrigue and interest and a little bit of drama, even though you've said that they're relatively drama free.
Yeah.
You know, I do think that, like that Christmas game is huge now.
Yeah, and I also think they're totally going to just tank the next day. Like, they're playing the Pistons the next day on the road. Like LeBron, Kyrie, and Love are all just going to rest that game. We're going to get, like, Kay Felder, Jordan McRae, Richard Jefferson, Tristan Thompson, and, like, Birdman Anderson playing, like, 40 minutes. And it's going to be beautifully terrible.
I forgot that Birdman is on the Cavs.
He literally, when he plays, it's like for 2 minutes, and all I really had known is that, like, of course his locker is next to LeBron's. Like, the bromance is alive. Like, the Miami bromance is like very, very real.
That's so funny. I love how him and James Jones just, like, they just know where their bread is buttered, and they they stay in shape, and they're just like, yo, LeBron, need anyone?
Even DeAndre Liggins, who I believe was on the last LeBron Heat team, or one of the LeBron Heat, I know he was on one of them, he's on the Cavs. And it's like, I'm like, firmly, 50% of me is like, LeBron just knows this guy, and he trusts him. Like, I firmly believe that, because it's like Mario Chalmers, like, get the Cavs starting Mario Chalmers in March, like, or before he become playoffs eligible, if they needed a backup point guard, if that's who they wanted. Like,
he's a free agent, right?
Yeah, and he's coming off an Achilles injury, which is, I think, part of the reason why he's not on a team.
Right. Okay. I forgot about that, because I was about to say Mario Chalmers not being signed and Jordan Farmar being on teams is like a travesty, but that makes a lot of sense. I forgot about the Achilles thing. Yeah. I love Mario Chalmers. Yeah. He's a good player.
No, he's
That sucks. I mean, he honestly will probably have to sit out the year, I would imagine, because like that would be really messed up to bring a dude back from like an Achilles injury and be like, hey, you have a month to get ready for the playoffs.
Well, he said he was fine, though, which is, like, the thing. It's, like, he'd said before...
Was it a rupture? Like, what was it?
Let's look it up. As we're talking... I'll look this up, but it's, like...
The wonders of live radio,
yeah,
folks.
Like,
here on Locked On Cavs, Locked On Blazers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Before I, like, click and find this, the first thing that pops up, and it's from one of those, like, fake news websites, is NBA trade rumors, : Cleveland Cavaliers to act on interest toward Mario Chalmers, ? I'm just saying, man, like, that's a thing.
Oh god, yeah, but yeah, why, just, you know, just an aside, be vigilant of the news that you're consuming.
Yeah,
and that goes for NBA as well as your general news that I'm sure you've heard a lot about recently.
Yeah.
Be vigilant of the fake news, it's not real.
Yeah.
Make sure that the URLs are actually the organizations that you think that they are.
Yeah. Yeah, do that, and it's like, go to, actually, this is from a ESPN article, ESPN's legit, ruptured Achilles, and if you like journalism, and you like good journalism, support real journalism, like,
that's right,
like, donate, donate $5 to NPR, man, like, it's not,
yeah, like, donate to NPR, donate to your local branches of NPR, donate to your, you know, subscribe to a local paper. I once worked for a local paper, it would be great for those papers to have some money and subscriptions. So yeah, great aside, by the way, Chris, on the state of fake news and journalism, but it affects the NBA as well. So that's how we tied it into Locked On.
Literally, like, within one Google search, it's there. It's like a fake news website giving me these Mario Chalmers rumors that I know someone posted to Facebook.
That someone posted to Facebook, or like suggested as like, a potential maybe scenario in a blog post and was taken as someone who had sources or something.
Yeah.
So yeah, those get, yeah, I sometimes people send me those and I'm like, eh.
Seth Rosenthal from SB Nation, as an aside to this, as a conjunction to this, wrote a really good piece. He literally took down fake news websites for SB Nation NBA. He wrote a whole thing, like, yeah, kind of debunking them and showing you like what these are fake and like how to like avoid them. And there's some really great Photoshops and it like rewriting the name to like garbage website and like in the Google search and the images. So like you should go read that. Like it's pretty good and it's pretty smart.
Yeah. You'll learn about how fake trade rumors get reported and spread like wildfire and all that stuff. Question about the East that doesn't really have to necessarily pertain to the Cavs, but it is your conference. And I'm curious because I've been thinking about it a lot. Are the Bulls good?
You know what, like I think about this a lot, like more than like is mentally healthy for me, and I like can't believe that they're good. Like I just can't, like I believe in Dwayne Wade still being a useful NBA player, like,
and that, Jimmy, like, Jimmy's really good.
Like Jimmy is really good. Like he's getting to the free throw line a lot more, which I think is pretty awesome. Like he's developing in a way that I guess maybe was the opposite of what I would have expected. Like I expected maybe hit threes again, but he's getting to the line. I'm not sure that they're good, but I'm also not sure, like, there's a lot of things I'm not sure about in the East, but I feel like they're better if they don't, if they keep not playing Rondo. Like, I feel better if they just, like, don't play Rondo. It's, like, crazy, like, Jerry and Grant is, like, a better option than Rajon Rondo. That's fine. Like, like that's totally normal that you spent, like, all that money on Rajon, but, like, you cut out the one guy and they're 9-5. Like, they have a better record than teams like the Raptors, the Hornets, the Celtics, the Pistons, like the Wizards, they're like kind of there, and that's like that on its own is kind of amazing for them.
Yeah, I think, you know, I think on some level I'm going to steal maybe a, this is kind of more of a playoff thing that we talk about, but I do think that it is a, I think Jimmy Butler is, you know, after all the guys on the Cavs, you know, he might be the best player in the East. You know, like after all those guys, I think he's better than DeRozan. I know DeRozan's had gaudy numbers. I think Jimmy's better. I think that he's better than Kemba Walker. I think he's better than Dwight Howard.
Is he better than Paul George? Is he better than Paul George?
No, but I just think that the Bulls just have smarter players around Jimmy. I just think, and they have better rebounders. Like they have, like the fact that they like Jimmy's a real, I think Jimmy's a better rebounder than Paul George. I don't know how much that's worth, but I think PG is a better offensive player because he has range, is a better shooter. But I mean, the way Jimmy's bullying guys, it's just a different type of game.
Yeah, I think you're right. Let me ask you this, in kind of going into that. If you're going to pick a player in the East after LeBron, you're going to start your team, who'd you take? Because I wonder this, and I don't know if it's actually Kyrie or Kevin Love. Like, I think it's probably Paul George. But Jimmy Butler is also like a pretty reasonable answer because it's just, you know, the two-way pivot player like can do all these different things and they aren't just defensive liabilities.
Right. No, that's a tough call. Like I don't know because both these guys can both just go off. Like to me right now, just the way Jimmy has played, it's a toss-up for me between him and PG. Like I don't because Butler has been that good and like the way he like. I know George can dominate defensively and stuff like that, but I just felt like – I don't know. The way Jimmy's playing right now, it feels like he's imposing his will in a more – I don't know. This is all very like not statistical analysis and all very anecdotal. But, you know, I think Jimmy and PG are like right there. I guess – okay, actually, I'm going to cop myself out though. I would say if I wanted to have one guy outside of LeBron in the East to like build a franchise around, I would say Porzingis.
Oh, I was going to actually ask you, like, is the real answer Joel Embiid? Like, is that the real answer?
I think Porzingis. Embiid is the man, and he's a monster, and I think and I love watching him play. I just think, I don't know, Porzingis is like, I think Embiid obviously can do like a lot of the things that Porzingis does, and he's bigger. I think though that Porzingis could be like a even better shooter. Maybe I just think he could develop into like a more like kind of more like a Dirk-ish type player. Whereas like Embiid has that range, but I think he's more of an interior guy. I don't know. Yeah.
And I think the health thing certainly matters too. Because, like, I wouldn't be surprised if, like, tomorrow, unfortunately, if Joel Embiid, like, tore his foot, like, tore a muscle in his foot or, like, ruptured his knee or, like, did something really bad. Porzingis, as big as he is, looks like he's got, like, a very solid frame. Like, there doesn't seem to be, like, issues with how he's going to be developed from the base up.
Right, and I think he also I've never heard anything about Porzingis having problems with his diet. Like, I know that Embiid jokes about the Shirley Temples and stuff. And,
dude, my man went to the club in his Embiid jersey after he, like, had a huge game the other night too. Like, that my dude is out here living.
No, he's living. Okay, if you had to choose, like, which person, like, whose life would you rather have, like living the best life? Oh, like,
it's
Embiid, like, 100%. Like, if I wanted to choose a dude who I thought was going to live his best life, I would say that it's Embiid 100%. But if it's a guy that I want to build a basketball team around that I think is going to be, like, hyper focused on being a good basketball player and mostly just that, like, I pick Porzingis.
Well, like, I don't know. Like, I you listen to people that are really good reporters. Like, I don't know if you read the Lee Jenkins Embiid story.
Oh God, that was amazing.
So, like,
where he said he learned how to shoot from watching white people.
Yeah, amazing. But it's like, he did a podcast with Zach Lowe about that story, and he was just like, this dude just, like, really, like, loves basketball. And I'm like, maybe, like, maybe because he's so jokey, it's like, maybe it's like the idea that, like, we think a guy has to be Kobe. Like, that has to be this, like, mega intense, like, kind of crazy person when, like, you can have fun. Like, it's not, like, a bad thing to just, like, be goofy. And but also, like, hey. Like, yeah. I mean, like, Shirley Temples aren't going to help you, like, score 20 and 10 for 10 years. Like,
right. I mean, I think the diet thing, like, I mean, I cover a couple guys that do a lot of, like, off the court extracurricular activities that, like, have, like, interesting off the court lives. But, like, I feel like they're just, like, a little bit stricter in their diet. And, like, obviously we wouldn't know about Embiid's diet, but, like, he also was doing some stuff, like, when his foot was messed up, he was walking around at Summer League a couple of years ago without a walking boot. Like, I saw him doing that and you know, things like that. Like, so it's like, I mean, he clearly live your life, Joel. I'm not telling you to, I know that you're listening to this podcast, Joel, but, you know, yeah, my vote is Porzingis.
Yeah. I don't think that's a bad pick either. And it's, like, funny that, like, we forget about him a little bit too.
They've, like, been playing well.
Yeah. And it's just, like, funny that, like, he's just such in a weird position. Like, it's, like, funny how, like, a guy, like, it's kind of, you look at how guys develop, like, look at, like, LeBron and Dame, in different ways, got handed the keys. Like,
right.
Embiid is getting handed, like, everything because the Sixers are the Sixers. Like, with the Knicks, Porzingis is just, like, he's doing a lot of really great things, but it's also, like, he's with Carmelo, and he's with Derrick Rose.
And honestly, like, I don't feel like he's going to ever, like, I feel like the Knicks are such, like, a mono, like, they're the Knicks. Like, I don't feel like they belong to anyone, you know, like, yeah. Very rarely do they belong to anyone, I feel like. So, but I don't know. Anything else you want to touch on before we wrap this up?
Let me ask you one basketball-y question about the Cavs. And I just kind of wonder, the Cavs do this thing where they play Channing Frye and Kevin Love at the five and they have them pull bigs out. Teams have really struggled to defend it. How do you think Portland would go about defending that? And do they think they have a counter to that? Because it's something I think no team has actually figured out how to really deal with it, especially if Channing Frye is hitting threes.
You know, the Blazers have a couple of – you know, they have some – Myers Leonard is a stretchy big himself and not a great defender, but I think – they can maybe try and put him out there on Frye maybe, and they'll put – I would guess maybe they could do something like Harkless on Love. I think Vonleh's pretty mobile. Obviously, Love is a tough cover. They don't – the Blazers are the worst – I think they were entering tonight the worst defensive team in the league, so they don't really have answers for much of anything these days. But I would say that I think the best way that they combat it is with Myers Leonard out there or Vonleh. Or Ed Davis. I think Ed Davis is pretty mobile big. He's a better defender than a lot of those guys. My answer, if they were healthy, would be Al-Farouq Aminu on Love, though. I think Aminu is a very versatile defender and could hold his own against a guy like Love. But they don't really have him right now. So I would say, like, Myers, some combination of Myers and Noah Vonleh or Vonleh and Ed Davis, you know, or Myers Davis, some combination of those, you know, and they've been going with Myers Davis in second units lately because With Aminu out, they've been trying to work into – they've been trying new things lately. So I think Myers will be involved in some way too to kind of maybe combat that.
Last thing. Are you in or out on the Myers man bun?
You know, I'm in for it because it's something different. I've seen Myers have the same hair for 5 years, so I'm in for something different. But I don't think it's his. Live your best life, Myers. But back to the Joel Embiid principle. I like it because Myers likes it, and he's living his best life.
I like that the live your best life is now the Joel Embiid principle. Like I'm here for that. Like it can be our It can be the new thing that spawns from this podcast. And then we need to trademark it, sell T-shirts on TeePublic, and make like $100.
Yeah. Catch us there on TeePublic or Etsy.
Yeah. Just support our support some like craft beer habits or something like that. Like whatever, right. Whatever we need. Like just give us a cover my tab.
Right. And you could also cover our tabs by advertising on our podcasts.
Which you totally should do.
Yeah. All right. So I'm Eric Garcia Gunderson.
I'm Chris Manning.
And thanks for joining us for a crossover episode of Locked On Blazers and Locked On Cavs. Subscribe to us, leave us a 5-star review, and we'll be back with you very soon in your feeds like we normally are.